And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
It's ridiculous that they do. That was a huge colony. Well, we didn't miss it. You know, the typical rah, 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 zip, boom, bah, boo.
You don't cuss. You don't drink. So what are your vices?
I have been known to chew a bit of tobacco when I get a little tired or watching film.
Hey, I'm Coach O. I just love my Hummer. I have my Hummer. You need a Hummer? Tell them about it, JoJo.
They've won the biggest championship, and that's the championship of life.
Gas control. Everybody just do your job. You understand that?
Welcome in to the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter, and I'm joined as always by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Mike, how the hell are you? It's been a great weekend, brother.
Yeah, it sounds like you've been hanging out with Johnny Manziel, one of our boys there, one of our all-time favorites, Shane. And I don't know if you heard the news, but Johnny, he's been cut from the CFL. I think he was playing with Montreal, and not only did he get cut, the CFL, Canadian Football League, of course, they sent out a statement saying Johnny Manziel banned from the league, and I'm just trying to wonder what kind of party did Johnny Manziel throw up in Canada to get him kicked out of the country?
It had to be pretty bad, man. I thought they were pretty loose up there. I thought Johnny would stick around, maybe have another shot getting in the NFL, and now he's kicked out of two countries. So I don't know. Where do you play next? Europe? Do they still got a thing over there?
Well, it sounds like the AAF may be getting him, but we don't know why he's been kicked off. But marijuana is 100% legal in Canada, so we can mark that one off the list, Shane. It wasn't the dope, but I don't know. I'll wait to see where Johnny Manziel goes. If he plays in the AAF, I think I may start watching that league a little bit more.
I think that would be a smart move for both parties here. People, obviously, he still has the name. People are going to watch him. And, man, I mean, nothing against Mettenberger, you know, but they've been trying to hype him up for like 10 years, it feels like. I'm not in it, but you put Johnny back there, yeah, I'll watch.
Well, speaking of AAF, Shane, Steve Spurrier, you know, the coach there, the AAF Orlando team, They have announced they're going on a cruise, Shane, and not only are they going on a cruise, they are inviting fans to come on. You know, they're putting the tickets out there. You can go to SteveSpurrierCruise.com. This is a real thing. I'm not making this up. You can hang out with the old ball coach. You can hang out. There's going to be players for the AAF team, and the coaching staff's going to be on this damn cruise. So I got two questions for you, Shane.
All right.
How many days of that, let's say a week long, I don't know how long it is, but I'm guessing it's a week long, of those 7 days, how many will Steve Spurrier wear a shirt? And if you could go on a cruise with any current or former SEC coach of all time, who's your top selection?
Oh, Mike, great questions. Steve Spurrier, over under, I'm going 5 days. You know, I think he's got to get cleaned up for the captain's dinner or whatever it's called, you know.
Good point.
I've never been on a cruise, but I hear that's a pretty big event. And, you know, getting on the boat and off the boat, so that knocks out 2 days. So, yeah, I'm going to say four. I'm going to say four as far as taking a cruise, that's a great question, man. Golly, Mike, let me ask you first, who would you take?
All right, Shane, I'm glad I'm going first because I did not want you to steal my guy here.
Okay.
But my number one all-time SEC coach that I'm going on the cruise with, my boy Lane Kiffin, Shane. And we are going to be cleaning up on these ladies. There's no, you know, cell phones don't really work. You're out in the ocean. You're on these, all these other places. So he can't be tweeting. He's not going to be disrupted by that. There's not going to be any videos being filmed of what he's doing and sent on the internet. I think with those restrictions in place, Shane, Lane Kiffin's my number one choice.
Now, when you're on these cruises, don't you get to do like little excursions and things like that?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, you stop at an island or whatever, and you get to just have fun.
Okay, so I'm probably going to go Big Jim from Florida, just because the memes I can make on our fishing trip are going to be priceless. Could you imagine catching a shark with him? I mean, you talk about Twitter blowing up, brother.
Wow, what a selection there, but I wish I would have thought of that. I think he just outdid me there, Shane. All right, Chad, we got a shit ton of news to get here, so let's jump into it. And we're not even going to do the intro because we got too much to get into, Shane. So let's just jump immediately to Georgia. And, of course, NFL Combine's going on. I don't really want to talk about how fast these guys can run on a straight line. I don't think that's that interesting, especially when they're wearing damn underwear. But maybe let's you talk, want to get into that, Shane.
Let's talk Metcalf. I mean, every time I get on, it's about him. And then, you know, I thought it was – I mean, freak athlete, absolutely. I mean, the built like a brick house. He's got the fat 4.33 40. I know you didn't want to get into this, but one of the things that you tweeted out the other day was his cone time, and that's very important, Mike.
Yeah, the cone, man. I can't wait to talk about the cone.
he had the slowest time. He's got no twitch. He's vertical and big. So, but I mean, he's freak athlete. So whatever. Okay, we'll go on.
That reminded me of your brother back on the old NCAA game, Shane. He would recruit the fastest damn players in the game, never look at the catch ratio, so his guys would be 10 yards down the field. They couldn't catch the damn ball.
Put him at quarterback.
Metcalf could catch the ball, but yeah, straight line speed, I don't know if that's going to cut it. But speaking of the NFL Combine, Shane, what I really wanted to hit on here, we had quite a bit of interesting comments here from a number of the Georgia players, of course, former Georgia players here, starting with Jonathan Ledbetter. All these players that go to the Combine, they have their media availability. And the thing that really struck out about here to me, Shane, he is asked about Dan Lanning, Georgia's new defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. Is not a guy that we really know a ton about because Kirby, you know, he keeps his program on lockdown there. So don't really know what to expect from this guy. Well, Jonathan Ledbetter was asked, you know, your old position coach, what's he going to bring to this defense? So let's jump to these comments from Jonathan Ledbetter, then we can discuss it.
What could Georgia fans expect from him as a defensive coordinator now that he's moved up?
A lot of pressures. A lot of pressures. I think Georgia's going to continue to not necessarily take risks, but, you know, get after it. We've always got after it, but, you know, we didn't generate a lot of sacks that we wanted to every year, and you know, I think that's something that he's working on, and just the scheme and how the defense is going and the way Kirby wants it to look. Because, you know, towards the end of the year last year, Kirby was like, you know, I want sacks. Y'all go get after it. Y'all go do what y'all do. And I'm definitely expecting, you know, big things from my outside linebacker group. There's a lot of talented guys, and definitely on the D-line too. Everyone's athletic, and they can move. So.
All right, Shane. So it sounds like Georgia's going to get a lot more aggressive. Seems like, of course, that's what they always say whenever you hire a new defensive coordinator. But, based on what Ledbetter has to say here, it seems like he approves of this decision to promote Lanning.
Yeah, sounds like you go cut him loose, you know. And, of course, you hear a lot about this when you get new coach changes and things like that. I mean, you got to still remember Kirby. It's Kirby's defense. So, but I really do hope that they cut him loose. Let me ask you, if they did more of an aggressive style defense with blitzes and different packages like he's talking here, at the end of the season, who's leading the team in sacks, Mike?
I think the one guy there, Shane, is going to be Brenton Cox. We got to see a little bit of him last season. You know, Georgia was pretty deep there with guys like Ledbetter and DeAndre Walker, so they didn't really need Cox to shine, but he really seemed to come on at the end of SEC play. And, of course, we got your boy, known mostly for throwing a Tennessee hat, Quay Walker. I think he'll get a lot more time on the field. I think if you're talking about two players breaking out, it's going to be them. I know Nolan Smith, the five-star freshman they got coming in, he's getting a ton of hype. But, you know, these guys had almost as much hype a year ago. They'll be in the second year in the system. I think I'd go with Cox or Walker.
Okay.
How about this, Shane? So we just mentioned there DeAndre Walker, another one of Georgia's outstanding defensive players. He was also at the Combine, and he was asked, what was your favorite moment there at Georgia? And believe it or not, Shane, he said, oh, Kirby Smart yelling at his ass.
I have a few of those. The best, my best memory, one, jumping over the shield at Auburn and coming back to the sideline and Coach Smart ripping me for it. And then in the SEC championship against Auburn, we beat them after they beat us the first time. And I did a spin move, and it was supposed to be just a step, but I spent. And Coach Smart said, don't do that ever again. But if it worked, like, he basically was congratulating me for doing it, but then told me not to do it ever again. But it was great.
So how about this, Shane? Kirby Smart yells at his players even when they do something good. I just thought this was a funny little comment.
Oh, I love it, man. If you played football, you've all had that moment when your coach, when you screwed up but did something good. You know, I'll never forget. I did a I was supposed to, I don't want to get into too much details, but I was supposed to go one way, yet I went the other way. And thank God I tripped up the guy that was pulling, because if I didn't, that guy would have went for the running back would have easily went 60 yards. So, you know, it's one of those that maybe didn't get brought up at the game, but it definitely did in film study. And it's just like, Sheridan, what the hell were you thinking? You know, so those little moments right there, those ones always stick around with you.
Yeah, and this clip just reminded me, Shane, I don't know if you can remember this movie, but it was the old baseball movie, Major League, about the Cleveland Indians and their ragtag team. And this was the original with Wesley Snipes. And he makes like a showboating catch in the outfield. He comes back into the dugout, and the manager says, "Hey, that's a hell of a catch. Don't ever fucking do that again." That's what this reminded me of.
I love it, man.
Oh, say, Isaac Nada, Shane. Oof, I mean, aside from what did he run, like a 4.9, I think he was one of the slowest players at the tight end position at the combine. Once again, here we go talking about these guys running in a straight line. But he was also at the combine, also met with the media. He was asked about, apparently some damn team asked him about his spirit animal. It sounds like he went one way, and then he got more honest here in this second answer.
Any unusual questions so far in your process?
Not sure about you. You know, what's my spirit animal? Which I thought was kind of funny, but
and the answer is?
I think I said lion, but I kind of wanted to say like golden retriever or something like that. You know, just a good old boy that loves the ball. You know.
I mean, you can't beat it, Shade. I think if he would have went golden retriever with his first selection, I think he would have been, I'd go with a golden retriever tight end over a lion any day. How about you?
Oh yeah, for sure, man. Well, let me ask you, if you were to guess my spirit animal, what would it be?
Shane, let's see. Spirit animal for old Shane. Damn, you got me on the spot here again.
Sorry, you can pause. I was thinking a hippo. Hey, I'll tell you what, man. Say what you want. A hippo, yeah, big guy. I get that. But if you ever look, like they talk about the most dangerous animals, yeah, hippo's it, man. It's lightning fast. It could crush you. I mean, there's so many things that this – I mean, watch the video of that hippo chasing that dude in the kayak. It's the freakiest thing you'll ever see in your life. So – yeah, that's what I'm going to go. He looks loving. He looks slightly overweight, and you're like, okay, he's out of shape, but bam, here he comes at you. Here comes the hippo. So I think that's my spirit animal.
Yeah, now that you mention it, the viral video of a hippo, you know, doing his helicopter poo at the zoo, that's you, all right. So I'll give you that one. So how about this, Shane? Well, we got two quick things here on Georgia before we move on to another team, but there's been speculation that Georgia could be going with a home-and-home series against Florida State. How big of a series would this be? These are the type of games we like to see, and it's, you know, it's not that often we get to see Georgia and Florida State play, but that seems like a natural rivalry right there.
That's a great game, man. I mean, there's a lot of recruits right there between those two universities that would be watching this game. So I think that would be a perfect matchup. It'd be crazy, though, you know, with Georgia and Florida and then Georgia and Florida State. So is there any rumors, like, is it going to be like a home and home, or is it not that far yet?
Well, I mean, there's been some speculation it would be in Jacksonville, kind of like the, you know, obviously the Florida-Georgia annual game there, but I don't know. I mean, this has not been finalized, but it's just something that is apparently out there. So I would really like to just see the home and home. Like you said, it wouldn't be that far of a trip for either team. So makes sense. A lot of the visiting fans would be able to go to each other's stadium. So I'm just hoping this one goes through.
Yeah, I like that. I love the SEC-ACC matchups. I love seeing the – I mean, they're on the schedule every single year, and we want the big ones. So I think this is a good get.
Yeah, and Shane, I had to throw this little curveball at you here. This came right before we started recording here, but Carson Beck, he's a four-star quarterback from the 2020 recruiting cycle. He just committed to Georgia, Shane, and why this is such big news, why I wanted to discuss it, This is a longtime Florida lean. This guy had just been visiting Florida. There was speculation that he was going to be making his decision in the next week or two, and everyone thought that he was going to Florida. How big is this that Georgia reaches down into Florida? And keep in mind, they offered this kid a scholarship 4 days ago, got him on campus, got him to commit already, and Florida had already basically, I don't want to say cut, but they had a quarterback committed who they kind of ran off. He went to the Elite 11 regionals and killed it. And they're like, well, hell, we got this guy coming anyway. It doesn't matter. Now they don't have him. Just really unfortunate. Now, of course, he's not signed, but still, it's not a good look here for Dan Mullen or Florida.
No, and I love when you tweet out Georgia recruiting stuff because it's like 50 GIFs of people throwing money. You know, it's like the same thing over and over. If you look at any Georgia recruit thing, and that's I don't know. I did see one interesting comment though that he has committed three times. Is that true? Like he's said he's going to go to a different school three times now?
I don't know about the three times, but he was formally committed to Alabama.
Okay.
And that is an interesting point to make, Shane, because historically, quarterbacks particular that people have studied, when they commit multiple times, I don't know of a single one that's really panned out. So if that's accurate, I mean, this may be a miss, but hell, Shane, the way Georgia recruits, they'll just land a five-star next year. I don't think it really matters, you know?
Yeah, that's true. But it would be, I think, a bigger get for University of Florida if they could swing him back. So I don't think Dan's done with him yet.
All right, Shane, let's jump to Tennessee. We got a little comment here I thought you would be particularly interested in. Now, we don't have the audio clip because just the way this radio station, it's very weird, Shane, when I discovered this, the way they work it, if they do an interview one day, they delete it the next day. So it was gone before I could grab the audio. But I do have some comments here from one of Tennessee's newest assistants. This guy is going to be basically Jeremy Pruitt's personal assistant, from what I understand. And his name is Kerry Stevenson. He's a former Alabama high school coach. He's been working with the Crimson Tide since 2013, I believe. And Tennessee got him to come on board, Shane, and I just thought you'd appreciate these comments. You know, he was asked the difference between Nick Saban and Jeremy Pruitt, basically. And, well, first of all, Kerry Stevenson said that I know Coach Pruitt did a heck of a job recruiting. The longer he's at Tennessee, the talent gap is going to close. And he's talking about Alabama-Tennessee, obviously. Then he was asked about the main difference there between Nick Saban and Jeremy Pruitt. And he tells the story of his first day at Alabama where he was eating in the cafeteria with Jeremy Pruitt. Every single player came in there, spoke to Jeremy Pruitt. Pruitt knew everyone's names. He knew the mother's names of every single player. And according to Stevenson, that's the difference between Jeremy Pruitt and Nick Saban, where the players just have a better connection with Jeremy Pruitt. What are your thoughts when you hear all that?
Well, I mean, your first reaction is you're ecstatic, you know, that you're bringing in somebody that's saying basically that Tennessee's a better job than Alabama. But I don't know. You gotta keep the reality here. The fact is he's coming to Tennessee. He took the job. So why would he say anything good about Alabama when he's coming to Tennessee? So I'm not really, you know, I'm not getting too sucked in here. Because he's going to be Pruitt's right-hand man. Who knows? It sounds like they are really good friends. So this, you know, hopefully will benefit Coach Pruitt. But I don't want to take away from Saban. Saban is his own thing. And, you know, to get to that level, I don't know. Maybe relationships is something Pruitt has to work on until he starts getting the talent that Alabama is getting. You know what I'm saying? So maybe he has to work harder on, you know, investigating the families and getting to know them. And that's what's made him such a hell of a recruiter over the years is maybe the relationships he builds with the family. So I'm not shocked there. Saban doesn't have to do that. Saban just show up and say, hey, I want you to come here. And if you want to be in the NFL in 3 years, you better come on down, you know? So it's a different animal right now.
And I do want to make this note because, you know, that's kind of the obvious thing a lot of people are going to point to. Like, this guy's now working for Tennessee. Why is he going to basically say Alabama's better than Tennessee? So that, of course, that's the logical point to make. But apparently Kerry Stevenson was also asked, you know, if he would share any Nick Saban stories. And he said, out of respect for Nick Saban, you know, he's not going to share any stories. He got nothing but high things to say about Nick Saban. And once again, this is from WNSM FM 105 Mobile, Alabama. But we don't have the audio because they don't post it. But, you know, I just thought that was kind of interesting comments. I know Alabama fans had they probably had a good laugh when they saw those comments. But just more the same from what we've been hearing with people that know Jeremy Pruitt. Sounds like he is elite when it comes to relationship building. And I think that's going to be key for Tennessee moving forward.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, I love the staff. Don't get me wrong. And I think this is big for him to have somebody in that he can talk to right there with him all the time that he's known for a long time.
All right, Shane, let's go back to the NFL Combine real quick because our boy Benny Snell, he was there. And during his little interview process, he went third person on us and he said that's not going anywhere.
This is what I've been dreaming about ever since I was a young one. So I'm excited. I don't want to overthink it. You know what I'm saying? I just want to be Benny Snell on the field. He's great when he just plays football. So I just want to play football and have fun.
Do you go third person when you talk to NFL teams?
I go third person with whoever it is.
All right, Shane. I think, Benny Snell really started to get some attention outside of Lexington when he was Kentucky's representative at SEC Media Days, you know, last July, I think it was. And this is a lot of people got introduced to him. Benny Snell was doing his third person act there as well. But hell, Shane, this kind of made me think that, the bravado and just the personality that he shares. Obviously, he's a great running back, and that's how he will truly be defined at the next level if he makes it or doesn't. You know, it's going to be about his production. But if he can excel at the next level, like I think he can, how much, if at all, do you think stock gets put in these NFL teams' minds when they're looking at a guy and saying, hell, if this guy breaks out, you know, he can be a personality for us off the field and just be, you know, an ambassador of the program, just a fun guy to to kind of promote around the city wherever he gets selected?
That's a great question, man. And I'm telling you, when Cousin Shane first watched this video, he thought, first off, that Benny ain't changing. And that's great because what makes Benny great is just his attitude and his, you know, just the anger he brings to the game. And he's always out to prove something or somebody wrong. Like here he is in the NFL Combine and nobody's talking about him as a top 10 pick or a top 5 pick, but Benny thinks he should be there. You know what I'm saying? So that's the kind of attitude you're going to get on your team. Somebody that is going to work his ass off to not only better the team, but better himself, you know? So he's just a hardworking guy, and I think any team would be lucky to have him.
One other thing I have on Kentucky, Shane, I thought this was pretty interesting. I apologize because I don't remember where I read this, but there was a big write-up on
– Is this the basketball game? Is that what you're talking about? Oh, no? Okay, sorry. I thought that's where you were going.
No, this was on Benny Snell and their outstanding linebacker, Josh Allen, Shane, leading up to last season. I mean, apparently this is all permitted by the NCAA, but Kentucky authorized these two players and I think a couple others, but the story focused on these two guys and they got the social networking agency to work with these guys and they basically manufacture tweets and tell them like what to tweet, when to tweet it and photos and it's basically for engagement. Yeah. And they said that these guys went from like 6,000 followers on Instagram to 50 and 60,000.
Well, that, Butch Jones, huh?
Well, why they said that was important was because they want to be able to sell to prospects the ability to come to Kentucky. And if you have a big season like a Benny Snell, like a Josh Allen, now that you're transitioning to the NFL, you have another avenue for advertisers and things of that nature so you can profit off that once you leave Kentucky because once you leave, you still get to keep your followers. And I just thought that was pretty interesting. I mean, that was like a clever way to kind of play the system a little bit.
So these are like real people, right? This isn't some sweatshop in India or anything like that creating. It's not bots, right?
No, I mean, it's just, if you're good at social media, you know, some people aren't. Some people are better than others at gaining followers. I don't want to mock how many followers Cousin Shane has compared to me, but but there are ways to get more people involved in your tweets and in your photos and your videos and whatnot. And this agency just basically exploded. These guys gave them 300 times the followers they had over a year's time. And Josh Allen and Benny Snell were just talking about how helpful those guys were. And of course, Kentucky's going to use that to recruit the next generation. But I just thought that was an interesting little, Kentucky's looking at this in kind of a three-dimensional kind of aspect where.
That's smart, man.
You know, obviously they're not going to compete with Alabama for someone, but if they're going up against maybe an Indiana or Purdue or something, they're taking these other avenues to help build the program and really help their athletes.
Dude, that's next level stuff, man. I thought Vandy or maybe Texas A&M would have came up with something like that, but Kentucky just selling it. And I don't know, man, maybe some other universities are – I mean, you're always looking for a competitive edge. And if you see a team do it, even if it's a Kentucky or something like that, don't think Bama's not got their eyebrows raised and saying, hey, we need to get our guys more followers. You know what I'm saying? So
exactly.
It all filters down to helping the athlete, though, because when they got more exposure than when they come out, you know, more things, more doors were open for them.
All right, Shane, let's jump to Columbia, South Carolina, where we actually got some spring football to talk about, Shane. I mean, this is a great time. The dead of the offseason kind of going away. We got some spring football in Columbia, and this started midweek last week. Will Muschamp met with the media to kind of preview spring football. You know, all these coaches have their opening press conference, and, you know, there was a lot of BS. There's always a lot of BS, a lot of depth chart reading, which isn't that interesting. But one thing Will Muschamp did hit on, old Jake Bentley, maybe his job's not as safe as people assume it is. I want to play this clip, Shane. And while he didn't really call Bentley out, he basically called everybody out. I just want to get your thoughts on these comments, and then we'll discuss it.
And you mentioned that every position is open and everybody's got to earn their job. But you go into spring with Jake Bentley as your starting quarterback in your mind, right? You don't anticipate
that
changing.
There's no question. I mean, right now he's our best quarterback on our roster. You know, and again, he needs to play well, and he understands that, and that's true for that with every position. We've had some guys that have played a lot of football here and been very successful. If somebody comes in here and outplays them, we'll go with another guy.
All right, Shane. So, once again, he's not calling Bentley out here. I think fans will appreciate these comments, but he's basically saying no one's job is safe, essentially, is what I took from this.
Yeah, yeah. If you're better, then you get the job. So, that's something you really want to hear, but – I mean, coming from South Carolina of all places, though, I mean, here we had Bentley last year with, what's his name, Mike? Skarnakia coming in. And there was a lot of people that wanted Michael to keep the job. So do we got ourselves a little bit of a quarterback challenge down there, Mike?
Yeah, and I'm glad you asked that, Shane, because Will Muschamp on his follow-up media availability, I believe this was on Friday, his second media availability of the spring, you know, he was always asked about the quarterback position. And while he noted it's still early, one thing he did note, that everyone in South Carolina seems like they're really excited for this freshman, Ryan Helinski, and they should be. I mean, this guy's an All-American type from Southern California, chose South Carolina over the likes of Florida, USC, UCLA, Stanford, I know was a big one for him, Ohio State. All these schools made a late push for him there at the end, but he chose to stick with his commitment to South Carolina. But they got another quarterback that they got last year that people need to not forget about yet, Dakarion Joyner, Shane, and that's the guy Will Muschamp noted on Friday as kind of standing out.
What kind of improvement have you seen in Joyner at quarterback this year compared to?
Well, it's really good. Tika's mom was here and sitting there today talking to them and after practice, and I said, all right, practice three of spring last year, practice spring of three this year. What do you think? And he says, like you said, it slowed down a lot for me. So, a lot of progress, really command, and you know, just some things that you see and some natural things, obviously, that he does anyways. But I think the game continues to slow down. We just got to, you know, just turns and reps. We got to get turns and reps, and we can't get enough. That's the bottom line.
You remain firmly committed to him at quarterback?
Absolutely.
All right, Shane. So based on those comments, I mean,
sounds like he's there, man. It sounds like that's the guy we should be watching.
Yeah, and I think, you know, fans are just quick to kind of forget. And this guy was kind of hyped last year, but came in, didn't do anything. Jake Bentley was kind of so-so. Like you said, Skarnecki kind of had himself a decent showing whenever he got on the field. And now everyone's ready for this new freshman because we haven't seen what he can do yet in college. And he might be the next, you know, big thing. But it seems to me it's like more realistic that DeCarrion Joyner, now that he's in his second spring practice, now that things are starting to slow down for him, like Will Muschamp notes here, I think Joyner is the one that if he does get a chance to unseat Jake Bentley, and I'm not saying he will, but if he does, he's going to bring something to that South Carolina offense they haven't seen since the days of Connor Shaw. How interesting would it be if Joyner was the answer there for South Carolina?
That would be unexpected, man. Because just as an outsider looking in, you want to say, well, obviously this is Bentley's gig, but if he messes up, Helinski's coming in. You know, obviously a lot of people are overlooking Joyner, myself included. But I mean, you talk about a total change of pace. Could you imagine game prepping for somebody like Bentley, and then all of a sudden Joyner comes out and takes the snaps? I mean, I'm not big on, you know, two quarterback deals, quarterback controversies throughout the season. But when you have two athletes like that that are almost night and day from each other, it does create havoc for the teams that they're going against.
Hey, a final thing here on South Carolina, Shane. So Treverius Robinson, their defensive coordinator, he had some media availability this week as well. And he was asked about the guy a lot of people want to talk about down there in South Carolina, 5-star early enrollee Zach Pickens, defensive lineman there from South Carolina that chose the Gamecocks over Clemson. And old Robinson, man, he threw out some high praise of Pickens, of what he could be. He threw this out there, then he reeled it back in. I think he's trying not to get the expectations too big here. But listen to old South Carolina's defensive coordinator on what this freshman could be.
I'm not saying all American. Listen, you ever seen that guy that played for the Eagles, number 91, Fletcher Cox?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably something like that guy. All right, that'll be my ideal scenario. Just disrupt everything and Aaron Donald and them kind of guys, which he has the capability to do one day. Obviously, he's a freshman, guys, and he's a long way from doing that right now. He's learning the plays. He don't even know what we're doing right now. So he's just running around like a chicken with his head cut off. But ideal player I want him to be. I want him to be really good and be the best in our conference and have a chance to help us up front.
You know, he's comparing this true freshman one day to Fletcher Cox and Aaron Donald, basically the two best defensive linemen in the NFL right now. I mean, that's setting the bar pretty damn high for a true freshman.
Oh, God, yeah. But, I mean, he's a freak athlete. And if he's, you know, put on any more weight, I mean, watch out. This guy could be dangerous and I think could be a starter week one, you know.
Yeah, and keep in mind, Shane, this guy, top 20 prospect. I mean, not to slight South Carolina, but, hell, a lot of programs don't get players that good. South Carolina's got plenty of talent on their roster, but you're talking about a position of need, an elite, elite player based on his recruiting rankings and what these coaches have to say about him. I mean, there's no reason that if he lives up to the hype immediately, that he's probably going to start from day one for the Gamecocks.
I mean, you could just see how giddy he is when he's talking. He's got this freak athlete, and he's like, just learn to walk. You know what I'm saying? He's like, as soon as he figures out the game, he sees the future. He sees what he's capable of doing. And I tell you what, man, South Carolina fans should be happy about this.
Yeah. Oh, final thing here about the Gamecocks, Shane. So Will Muschamp did note during his opening presser there, 7 Gamecocks will be out for the spring football. And that was headlined by TJ Brunson, their leading tackler there at linebacker. But he did note that all these players should be good to go for fall, but just interesting that every damn year, South Carolina's leading linebackers out for the spring. One day the Gamecocks are going to need a linebacker to show up spring football, I would think.
Yeah, but how big is that? I mean, I would rather him take off spring and get ready for fall than get hurt in spring and then miss half of fall. So as a South Carolina fan, or just any fan in general, I want to err on the side of caution with these athletes. And if there's anything that we think we need to clean up and work on in the offseason, that's what we're going to do because we want these boys playing in the fall.
Yes, particularly when you're talking about a senior. I think you'd rather freshmen, sophomore, et cetera, they get more snaps in the spring. Get your senior ready for fall camp.
For sure.
All right, Shane, let's jump to Fayetteville, where the Razorbacks are another one of those teams that have already had spring practice. But before we jump into that, Shane, I do want to make this interesting note. Their starting quarterback from last year, Ty Story, he has announced his transfer destination. He's going to play at Western Carolina, which is the head coach was the former offensive coordinator there, Tyson Helton for Tennessee. I thought that was interesting, but why this is particularly interesting, Shane, Western Carolina travels to Arkansas on November 9th, the end of the season there. Oh, man, if not to say there's, like, pressure under Chad Morris already, but there's no way in hell he can lose to Western Carolina and Ty Story next year, is there?
No. And let me ask you this. If you're Ty Story, did you know this going in, or were you surprised? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, was this used as a part of a tool? Like, hey, man, you come up here, you get a chance to, you know, we think we're going to be in good shape. Or do you think Ty ran up there and then said, oh, shit, Arkansas is on the schedule. Why didn't I look at that, you know? What do you think? I want to think it's like the revenge factor.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's what I think. Now, I don't think he went through Arkansas's schedule and was like, all right, I'm going to call this school, this school, this school. Yeah. But I would imagine he had it narrowed down to a couple. And then he was like, hell, Western Carolina, my final year, or it should be Western Kentucky. They play Arkansas. I think that may have been the deal breaker for him. And I don't know, Shane. I mean, I have expectations that Arkansas is going to be much improved next year. But I put this out there on Twitter, and I'll stand by it. If Arkansas loses next year to Western Kentucky, quarterback Ty Story, I mean, that may be the end there for Chad Morris for me.
I think so, man. I think so.
All right, Shane. So while Chad Morris, in his introductory press conference, he noted, this was kind of a big one, TJ Hammonds no longer on the team. He would not go into why. And then Rakeem Boyd, who I think is going to be one of the breakout players in the SEC if he can stay healthy. He is also out for the spring due to a shoulder surgery, but you know, it's kind of more of a precautionary thing. Just want to get him good to go for fall camp. So the Razorbacks are going to be pretty thin at running back, but obviously the big thing for the Razorbacks is getting this quarterback situation handled, and now they got some elite receivers coming in, some true freshmen that are going to play immediately. So let's jump to Chad Morris talking about his quarterback situation and then the addition of these receivers. I thought this was just kind of some interesting comments here.
Having Ben Hicks here is going to help us. As also having John Stephen Jones and Connor Nolan and Dalton, I mean, those guys in their second year, you would expect you're in your second year, expect things to be better. I'm excited about that. I think that what we've seen already from the time we've got here in January to where we are right now has been far in advance of where we've been. And I say that in regards to these guys, the extra work they put in on their own. Our skill guys, especially at wide receiver, another area that you know, we brought in, obviously, Shamar and Trey Knox, those guys have brought a lot of energy, and they brought a lot of competition to a wide receiver room. And what I have seen is this. I've seen Davion Warren and Deion Stewart and Mike Woods, Jordan Jones, Corlin Jackson. I've seen those guys have to elevate their game even more. And so there's a sense of urgency, so to speak, in that wide receiver room. Which was good to see. All of them rose their game, and that's what you want. That's why you go out and recruit, and I think you've seen the recruits we brought in this building and continue to bring in this building, and it ain't going to stop. We're going to continue to recruit at a high level, and it's not to threaten anybody. It's to know that this is what it's going to take to get this program right, and because you create competition and you raise someone else's game is what you're after.
All right, Shane, so based on that, I mean, it sounds to me like Ben Hicks, the SMU transfer, he is probably going to be the guy to beat there. I know he just arrived a couple weeks ago, but based on what Arkansas's got coming back at quarterback, I think that's a natural assumption. And then just Chad Morris's comments here on these young receivers and basically wanting everybody in the building to know, hey, your job is on the line based on that 2-10. Everybody, you know, every position's up for grabs. He's going to give it to these freshmen if they earn it. I think that's kind of something important that everybody in that building needs to know.
Yeah, for sure. And I just hope there's no hesitation like last year. You know, that quarterback carousel was just it became a laughing stock. It was just a joke down there. So if Ben Hicks is your guy, and I hope they honestly, I hope they figure it out in spring, which they're probably not going to. They're going to say they're going to wait till fall. But I hope that they figure it out early in fall so that Ben can get some. I mean, he's never threw to any of these receivers, so he's got to build some sort of rapport with these guys, and you can't do that if you're jumbling quarterbacks, you know.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, and I think that really crippled anything the Razorbacks had last year, just their indecisiveness at that quarterback position. I mean, it was not only game to game; it was basically half to half. They did not know who they were going to put out there, and that was a huge issue. So they need to settle on a guy. They don't have to do it by the spring, but before game one, obviously, I think they got to pick a guy and stick with him.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben Hicks, the guy we keep talking about here, the SMU transfer, he had his first media availability as a Razorback. And I came away pretty impressed, Shane. We wanted the fans to be able to hear this guy. Seems like he understands why he was brought in. He's trying to present a leadership void there in that locker room. So let's jump to his comments, and then we can discuss that.
Do you feel like you've already established leadership over the room so far?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you kind of get it just because I'm old and I played a lot of football. But, you know, I think that's my job is to come in and be the leader of this team and, you know, just bring guys along and just, you know, push this process along. So it's kind of a part of the playing position, so fun.
Obviously, Arkansas struggled the past couple of years. Do you see this as an opportunity for you to make a difference?
Yeah, I mean, I came here to make a difference and help this team win games, and you know that's what I'm working towards every single day, and that's my goal and what I'm here to accomplish. So yeah, that's what I'm here to do.
All right, Shane. So how impressed are you with a guy that basically just walked in the door, you know, noting that? You know, it doesn't seem like he feels entitled to anything, but he understands that there is, like I said, a leadership void, if you want to call it that. And, I mean, he's helping everybody in this building get up to speed. And, I mean, it's just so rare that you have a new guy that knows everything better than the people that have already been there. But that seems to be the case here.
Well, I tell you, man, this is one of those, the audio doesn't do it justice. If you watch him, there's a little swagger to Ben Hicks. I think he knows he's the guy, and that's the kind of attitude you need from your alpha dog. This guy he chose Arkansas for one reason, and that's to be the starting quarterback. So I think that's the mentality he has, and every time he goes out there, and if he sees the opportunity, I think some good things could happen out of this.
Yeah, a final thing here on the Razorback, Shane. I did want to make this important note. Over the weekend, former Texas A&M quarterback Nick Starkel took his official recruiting visit to Fayetteville. He did it while they were day of practicing with Ben Hicks. So the Razorbacks are not done recruiting quarterbacks. And kind of like we hit on there with Ty's story, Nick Starkel, if he chooses Arkansas, he gets to play Texas A&M twice more in his career. I mean, I think that may be because it's down to Arkansas and Florida State from what I understand. And Florida State's already added one quarterback this offseason. So but so has Arkansas. So it's interesting he's chosen these two. But how big would it be for Arkansas to add another veteran quarterback that has SEC starting experience to the roster?
I think right now that room can have as many people as they want. You know, if they can pick the brains of some of these guys that's been at other universities and seen how they did it, you know, because they're all young, man, even the coach. So I don't know. This is something – I'm just going to just kind of wait, sit back. I just think, I don't know. There's just something about this Ben Hicks I think they need to stick with. And if they do get Starkel, you know, I don't know. I don't know if he pushes Ben because I've seen some of his highlights. Right. And I just think that's your dude right now. But, again, you get him in there, you see him early in fall practice, maybe you change your tune. Now, does he have to sit out a year?
No, both these guys are going to be eligible immediately. So, it's hard for me to imagine you're a graduate and then you go somewhere where, you know, you'd be battling for the job, because if you don't get it, what the hell did you pick that school for? So
exactly.
I don't know if just playing Texas A&M would be motivation enough for Nick Starkle.
Good stuff, Mark.
All right, Shane, let's jump to Oxford, where Ole Miss, that's another team we noted. They're in the spring practice already. It's pretty exciting to have some kind of football going around the SEC. And Matt Luke, during his introductory press conference, you know, he didn't have a ton to say, but I thought the most important thing was, once again, kind of the big storyline there in Oxford this offseason, the addition of Rich Rodriguez, an offensive coordinator, Mike McIntyre, defensive coordinator, hiring two head coaches to be coordinators that have won National Coach of the Year honors. I believe both of them have.
Mm-hmm.
So here's Matt Luke on what these additions mean for his program.
But Rich Rodriguez and Mike McIntyre in particular, how have they plugged in? What have you seen from them in terms of the difference they've made in the program, maybe the energy they've interjected?
You know what? I'm really excited about the experience and the knowledge they bring. I think that's your job as a leader, to bring in the best people that you can. And probably what I like most is they sat in my chair. They see the big picture. They understand it. And even more importantly, our staff chemistry is really, really good. And I think that's the most important thing. I think the players, they feed off the coaches. And I think the chemistry of your staff is very, very important. And I really like the direction we're headed.
All right, Shane, I've asked you this before, but if Matt Luke gets fired midseason, which one of these coordinators is taking over?
I'm leaning Rich Rod, man. I was just thinking, you know, Ole Miss is like last chance you for coaches. You know, it just feels like that. Like these guys that struggled and they're trying to get back into the game, you know. That's what it feels like. But I do think Coach Luke, I love the pickups. I love the ads. I love having these guys around that's been at these huge programs that knows what's expected of them. And I think this is really going to help Ole Miss, because they've got an uphill battle, man. And it's going to come down to X's and O's if they're going to compete in a lot of these games. So having some of that seniority on the sideline, I think, is a smart move by Coach Luke.
Yeah, and I kid. I mean, these hires, they didn't wow me when they first were made, but look at some of the hires, guys that are kind of lame duck type coaches, like Butch Jones there at the end when he's hiring damn Larry Scott to be his offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
I mean, Ole Miss could have easily went that route and just said, hey, we're hiring this up-and-comer who's going to cost us nothing. They went complete 180, hired two guys that know what the hell they're doing and have won at an incredibly high level. So you got to credit Ole Miss for going all in on these guys. And in addition to that, you know, Rich Rodriguez and McIntyre met with the media. I thought I was impressed with both of them, but particularly Rich Rodriguez. So we're going to jump to that. He's talking about Matt Corral, who's probably going to be their starting quarterback, and how he fits into his offense. And then he really won me over. Some dumbass asked, hey, is it better that you got nothing but freshmen instead of these seniors that are at the NFL Combine? And Rich Rodriguez shut that down pretty quick.
How is Matt Corral built for what you want to do with this offense?
Well, I remember seeing him in high school and thought this would be a guy that would be good, because he make all the throws. He's an athletic, tough guy, a willing runner, and got athletic ability. He seems to have all the intangibles as well. And again, it's just been two practices and a month of preparation, but I like what I see. I mean, there's a lot of things that all the guys got to get better at, but Matt's done a great job. You know, when probably the only room in the country with all freshman quarterbacks, which makes me a little nervous. Freshman, a redshirt freshman, but Matt's done a good job of taking charge of that room in a lot of respects.
Was there anything thought of the other two quarterbacks? I know it's awful.
Yeah, they're swimming right now. But you know, you got to remember, they're supposed to be in high school, Kincaid and Grant, and they're quick learners, and they're willing to do anything and everything and want to get better. So I've really been impressed with what I've seen so far. And sometimes I got to step back and like, God, remember, these guys are supposed to be getting ready for their prom or whatever they're doing in high school. So they'll be okay.
Matt was talking about how there aren't too many seniors in this group right now. Does that make it easier?
You mean
for
in the offense?
Yeah.
Yeah, there isn't.
Does that make it easier for you to install with kind of?
No, hell no. I mean, you think of those dudes that are going to the combine and been here, I mean, you'd give anything to have them back. You know, can they? I don't think I'm going to change their mind. They're fixing to get paid. But no, you'd like to have some of those back. That would make it easier, you know, because you don't have to teach as many of the fundamental part. But it is what it is, and it's kind of exciting for the new guys to get an opportunity because they see all those guys are great players that left. Now, hey, I'm getting my chance now, and in a lot of ways it makes them more eager to learn and get ready to go. So you'd like to have that experience, but I think we'll be okay. And we're going to have some freshmen in a big class that are coming in, and some of those guys will have to get ready to play at just about every position offensively.
All right, Shane.
You sure you want those two first-rounders we just put up there, you know? No, I'm going to take the young kids. I want them old.
I'm glad Rich Rodriguez could laugh through some of these stupid-ass questions. But, you know, Matt Corral, if he lives up to the hype, remember, this is a guy that was a U.S. Army All-American. He got to see the field a little bit last year. Not in a ton, but in a couple blowouts he played. He kept his red shirt, so he's still a red shirt freshman, but has seen the field thanks to the new NCAA red shirt rules. But, you know, if he fits the bill, it seems like Rich Rod has already had his eye on him when he's already out in Arizona. This could be a nice little match here for Ole Miss. Yeah, so, I mean, Rich Rod, he won me over by that comment.
Yeah, and I think this Matt kid, you know, has got some – I mean, he had a lot of hype coming in. So I think that he's got a lot of potential. And, you know, maybe, I don't know, a lot of things happened in the offseason. So, and a lot of things happened with new coaching staff. So maybe this is what Matt needs to elevate his game. And, I mean, you got to remember, I mean, they had a machine. Ole Miss didn't have a lot last year, but they did have some offense. And Matt didn't have that opportunity to come out and really play. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Now he does. So, who knows? He may come out and shock us all.
Yeah, and while we're just sitting here talking about this, Shane, you made me realize that oftentimes, I mean, people are down on a program. They don't know who the quarterback is, so they just kind of write them off. But just the way college football has been going here, redshirt freshman quarterbacks all the time break out. You look at guys like Jameis Winston, mm-hmm. Johnny Manziel, Marcus Mariota. I mean, and I know I'm talking to some elite quarterbacks here, but it's not like any of these guys, maybe Jameis Winston a little bit, but the other ones, it's not like they were hyped up before we got on the field. So
right.
If Matt Corral, who was an Army All-American, comes in here and just goes insane in a Rich Rod offense that fits him, I mean, we could be looking at Ole Miss being written off already to one of the more surprising teams in the SEC. I can't completely rule that out just sitting here talking about it.
Absolutely, man. I mean, you just never know, too. I mean, like you said, there was a lot, like he was joking about, there was a lot of studs in the combine. Well, there's people behind those studs. We just don't know how good they are.
Mm-hmm. All right, Shane, let's jump to the other Columbia, where Missouri is in spring football as well. And I just thought this was a little bit interesting. I think it's the right move. But Barry Odom has already named Kelly Bryant, the Clemson transfer, the starting quarterback. What are your thoughts on that, Shane? Do you like that, or do you yeah. like when the coaches are like, well, they have to earn it, or you know what I mean?
No. He doesn't want him to leave, Mike. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the seniors have got a green light. Hell yeah, I'm going to tell him he's the starter so he doesn't leave. I mean, what else would you expect?
Well, that's a good point. I didn't think about it like that, but my point was just, I hate when they do this bullshit where they're like, well, they've got to earn it. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
When you have a clear guy, I'm not saying that just because he's a senior or just because he's the clear guy, like there's no way he can be unseated. Mm-hmm. But if I had a clear answer at quarterback, I'd say, hell yeah, he's obviously our starter. But, you know, kind of like Muschamp, if he gets beaten out, we'll have no problem sitting him either. I think that's the best way to do it. I just hate that cliched, you know, well, he'll have to earn it. You know what I mean? Like, he's there to start. You know what I mean?
I agree, man. Yeah, that's the first thing. When I saw that, I was like, oh, nah, he just doesn't want to go to Tennessee.
Also, in addition to that, Barry Odom, we do have a comment here from him. I thought this was pretty interesting, Shane, and I think this speaks to the fact that none of these seniors have left, including Kelly Bryant, and
From what I've heard, I mean, I've not even heard anyone basically fielding calls. We know Tennessee's calling them, but I don't think they're calling Tennessee back on just his 2019 team being a player-led team. Let's play these clips.
Who's stepping up and taking those leadership reins?
Maybe one of the best things right now in our program, it's becoming a players-led group. There's so many guys that on both sides of the ball that have really grown over the last year or so, and then now in a position that their play allows them to have the real true self-confidence in being able to lead. We've got a big group of guys on both sides of the ball, from Yasir Durant and Tristan Castillo and Trev Sims on the offensive line. I mean, those guys lead every day. Roundtree has done a great job on his leadership, and this going down the list. Kelly Bryan has stepped in and has brought a different dynamic of leadership, being a new guy, but our team has welcomed him, and he's done a great job in that role.
So what do you think about these comments, Shed? I mean, Missouri's got a ton of hype. Yes, they've got the bowl ban, which they are appealing, but I think if Odom is telling the truth here, and I believe he is, based on the fact, like I said, none of the players have left when they have the green light to do so. I think Missouri could be trending in for a big season here.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing. I was more worried about one or two leaving, because then it usually snowballed, especially in a situation like this, like when Ole Miss went on sanctions. But it really seems like, right, he's keeping everything together, and he's create. I mean, you got to create that bubble, man. Like, it's us against the world. They're out here trying to poach us. They're out here trying to tell us we can't do anything. We're about to shock the world. So that's, I think, the mentality they have. I mean, they got to be looking at their schedule next year, man, and the talent on that roster. They have got an opportunity to make some serious noise in the East, man.
Yeah, I think so. And like I said, Shane, just let that appeal keep riding. If they keep winning, I mean, try to push that to 2020.
Absolutely, man. At least one more year.
All right, Shane, another team here, Texas A&M. They have started spring football. I just love that spring football's back. But Jimbo Fisher gave his introductory press conference at the tail end of last week. And, not a ton. Jimbo Fisher talks so damn fast, it's hard to understand sometimes. But the biggest thing I took away from his first presser of spring, obviously year two, historically, Shane, that's a big year for SEC coaches, for elite SEC coaches. We've had a number win a national championship in their second year. Not saying Jimbo Fisher and Texas A&M are going to do that, but if you're a great coach, I think we really start to see that in year two, and I expect big things from Texas A&M. Here's Jimbo Fisher on the expectations and just the development of his team going into year two. So here, Shane, I thought, I just thought this was pretty cool, because he's like, did you hear me yelling out there? He's like, I wasn't yelling. He's like, I didn't have to. And he's like, these guys know what I'm looking for. They understand it. It's kind of the basic thing like that. And I'm trying to think exactly what he said. He's just like, these guys are ready. They're ready for this season, and we're X amount of months away, and they're ready to go right now. I don't know. I was pretty impressed by it.
Do you get a sense that your guys are excited for the start of spring?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. I really do. I think they're looking forward to it, and I think feel confident. And they know what to expect this year. I mean, they're coming in now. We had success at the end of the year. We had a solid season. And I think their assignments, the culture, how we work, what we do, what we expect, there's a comfort zone there. But I think there's a real sense of there. It's not a comfort zone where I'm relaxing. It's a comfort zone, okay, I understand what they want now. Let's go get better.
What about you? Because obviously it was a little bit of a, chaos when you got here.
Oh, no doubt.
In the transition.
Too busy. I've been busy coaching players. I was coaching coaches. Mm-hmm. You're coaching coaches. You're coaching Smitty. You're coaching your trainers. You're coaching everybody the way you want the culture of the place, which is a whole process. But our guys have picked that up. I mean, I'm anxious to see these guys. I'm anxious to see how we can build and grow and get better.
Has it felt like a smoother offseason for you?
Oh, much better, because just of knowing what to do. And the players accepting the accountability part of it. I mean, you sense that from him.
All right, Shane. So Jimbo and his crew looking at a big year two. What are your thoughts on those comments?
Oh, fast talking Jimbo's back at it, Mike. I mean, year two is big. Year one, you're learning things. You know, you and a lot of times it's trial and error, and there's a lot more error. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Going into year two with the same offensive coordinator, same defensive coordinator, same head coach, you know, this is something a lot of these players on this team have not had in a while. That continuity, I think, will pay dividends going into year two. So I'm excited about Texas A&M. I mean, the West, boy, I tell you what, it's going to be a tough little conference.
Yeah, I just can't wait to see how this shakes out, Shane, because I think this is a year we need to see how if LSU can sustain it,
mm-hmm.
if A&M can take that next step. I think Auburn's going to take a big bounce back.
Exactly. What does Auburn do? And of course,
Alabama. You know what I mean? It's just, it's going to be a murderer's row, and I can't wait for it.
Yeah.
Now, all the news was not good for A&M. This is kind of a mixed bag here, Shane. DeMarvin Leal, he was the number 3 overall prospect in the nation, 5-star defensive lineman. He is out for all of spring, Jimbo announced, but it's a kind of a good news, bad news situation because they feared he had an ACL tear, but it just turned out to it's like a sewing of the ligament is how Jimbo expressed it. And I've reached out and discovered, you know, this is a recovery that takes about 2 to 3 months. So he should be fine for fall camp, but obviously you want your elite 5-stars, you know, kind of go through the motions there in spring. Not going to be able to do that, but, you know, like I said, kind of a mixed bag there. You want him there for the spring, but happy he didn't tear his ACL because he's probably got to start for A&M next year if they're going to do big things.
Yeah, I think so. I think they had big expectations for him, you know. I mean, that's what you heard everybody coming out of there, that he's going to be a starter from day one. So this is a setback, but, you know, it's unreal what they can do in rehab. Stem cell research these days, Mike.
That A&M money, man. They can get anything.
Man. They're going across the border, man.
All right, I was going to ask you about this, Shane. Let's jump to Gainesville, where we don't have – they're not in spring practice yet, but we did have a little nugget here. I wanted to get your thoughts on it. So, obviously, the game that we keep hyping up, Florida versus Miami in the season opener, that's going to be in Orlando. And that game is scheduled for August 31st. But speculation and actually – both schools and ESPN have come out and said this is true. They're trying to move this game up a week to week 0. You remember how we called it last week, last year we had like Temple and St. John's. We were getting a breakdown week 0. We make it an SEC game this year. But what would your thoughts, Shane, be on that game moving up a week? And the only reason I think this, I don't want to say unfair. I don't know if that's the right word. But moving it up, because next season, Shane, every team is going to have 2 bye weeks in the schedule.
Yeah.
If they move it up, Florida gets 3 bye weeks this year. Do you think that's a big deal, or does it really matter after only one game?
Okay, so who are they playing week 0 now?
Well, it's not official yet, but they're appealing. They're like petitioning to get it done, but it's Florida versus Miami in Orlando, so it's a neutral site, but they just they just want to kick it up a week.
Personally, I'm for it, Mike. I mean, by that point, we're all chopping at the bit to get some football, and you know, you can watch Hawaii or you can watch Miami and Florida. Yeah, give me that game. You know what I'm saying? Keep your Colorados. I want to see that game. So yeah, move them up. I don't care. Yeah, that's one less week they really get to practice. So, I mean, there's a disadvantage to it too, I think.
Yeah, and I think this game, like I said, Florida, Miami, and ESPN, they're all trying to get this done. It's not official yet, but I'm almost sure that it will get done. And I think it's going to be a big hit. And I think we're going to see more schools do this, and I think they should because, I mean, why in the hell not, Shane? I mean, just more football and more eyes on you. And, you know, that week one is always great. I'm not trying to knock it, but if you can get some marquee games in that week 0, I mean, you're just going to get more eyeballs on those because, like you said, people are just dying for football, you know?
Yeah, for sure, man. I'm already dying. I'm ready for – so what is Vanderbilt's the first game, right, that we can watch the – I think it comes up the end of the month, right?
Oh, Vanderbilt Spring Game. Yeah, that'll be the very end of March. That'll be coming up on SEC Network.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, brother.
And speaking of Vanderbilt, that's the last thing we got to hit on, Shane. I wanted to get your thoughts on this. But we were talking about this guy on a recent podcast. The defensive line coach Nick Eason, a guy they got from the Tennessee Titans, he was on Derek Mason's staff for 13 days, and then he jumped back to the NFL. And then to make matters even worse, Shane, so Mississippi State, their linebacker coach, he also jumped to the NFL unexpectedly. So what happened? Mississippi State stole Chris Marv, linebacker coach there at Vanderbilt, who's a Vanderbilt alumni. So Vanderbilt lost two coaches, but I think the more interesting one is the guy they got less than 2 weeks ago. I mean, the Commodores just can't catch a damn break here.
No, they can't, man. It rained the entire 13 days he was here, too. So,
All right, Shay, that was a pretty loaded show. I know we teased. I still got my recruiting stats and all that to talk about. We're going to push that once again. We just had so much content to get to. We also have a mailbag question that we are going to get to, but we're going to have to push that once again. We had so much to talk about. Hopefully we can get to those on the next podcast. Anything else, Shane, before we jump off here?
Dude, I think – did we hit every team? I mean, we talked a little off. LSU, mm-hmm. Brendan Fehoku, did – you know, he squatted 600 pounds the other day, so we'll talk about that. I thought that was great. I followed him on Twitter. He didn't follow me back, but that's cool. You know, I'm still learning the dance. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's
– You don't want to come off too strong, Shane. You don't want to come off too strong.
Is that too desperate? Oh, no, man. This is great, man. This is actual content, man. I mean, it's crazy. Well, I mean, we got spring ball firing up, so I'm excited about it. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about everybody hanging out with us here in March. It's a new month. March Madness is coming up. Mm-hmm. I'm just pumped up for sports in general, and appreciate y'all hanging out. If you got an iPhone, we do really appreciate the rating and reviews on iTunes. If not, man, just hanging out's all we ask. So that's all I got, Mike.
All right, Shane, thanks for joining me. As always, thank you everyone for tuning in. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right, see you guys. Go Vols.